Ladies and gentlemen, today is Monday, March 13th, and this is Last Man Standing, your friendly neighborhood podcast where today, things are going to be a little different. Because you see, today, we're tired of being a good man. We are sick and tired of being sick and tired. Bet you didn't see today coming. Place you wouldn't know, probably. Some place to be nobody. Nobody.
All my time has been focused on my freedom now. Why would I join them when I know that I can beat them now? They put their words on me and they can eat them now. That's probably why they keep on telling me I'm needed now. They tried to box me out while taking what they want from me. I spent too many years living too uncomfortably, making room for people who didn't like the labor but wanted the spoils, greedy, selfish behavior. Now let me give it to you balanced and with clarity. I don't need to turn myself into a parody. I don't do the shit you do for popularity. They clearly didn't understand when I said I get out, apparently.
So back in late 2001, Nas came back out with this incredible album. And if you didn't already know, I'll tell you, I am in very, very big fan of Ms. Lauryn Hill. So when I heard this track was coming out with the two of them, I literally waited by my phone for lyrics to drop, for a music video to drop, for a YouTube music, anything, just anything. I needed to be there for it. And it came out and my head blew right off my shoulders. But then, as some things do, you kind of forget about it a little bit. So about 2 days ago, I'm at work, I'm doing my thing. I have Spotify playing, it's just going through the routine. And this song comes back on, and it was like I heard it for the first time. A place to be nobody. A place where you can just live out your life without having to worry about what he said or what she said or what they do, what they want you to do, what they need you to do, the things that you feel obligated to do. Just somewhere to be. Somewhere to be nobody. And it got me to thinking. So I pulled up some of the lyrics. I'm just going through it in my head. And this line jumped out at me. And it's something I just have been rereading over the last few minutes. I spent too many years living uncomfortably, making room for people who didn't like the labor or wanted the spoils. That selfish, greedy behavior. And as most things in this world, art imitates life. And it jumped out at me because this is where I am in my head these days. You see, I'm tired. I'm tired of being something for everyone. I'm tired of working and going above and beyond for the people that don't appreciate it. I'm tired of being responsible for someone else's joy, someone else's happiness. And it's a strange place to be, especially for a parent, especially for a spouse. You get used to these things. You get used to having to get up every day, having to go to work, having to be responsible and do your due diligence. You get tired of having to come home and cook and clean and be responsible for everyone else's well-being, because that's when you realize that you are certainly starting to pour from an empty cup. And I'm tired. I'm tired of being tired, as the old saying goes. And I say this because as a 40-year-old man, I truly do not take out much time for myself. Over the last month or two, I've tried to carve out some time, at very least for my wife and I to spend some time together, to go out on dates and see things and do things, just trying to keep a connection between us. But lately, I'm realizing more and more that I really don't have much that's just for me, other than this podcast. So if you're here and you're listening, thank you for being a part of it. But as I sit through this and I'm thinking, I'm going to tell you a short little story. My great-great-grandmother. You see, she raised me from somewhere around the age of five until I was about 12, 13, something like that. And she was this incredible, incredible woman. Just very well kept, good shoulders on her head. But the one thing that I can say that I truly got from her growing up is my heart. She was a magnificent woman. Would do anything and everything for you, would work her fingers to the bone to make sure that everyone else was taken care of, everyone else was happy. You see, we lived on the south side, and although it was a row home, it was a very large row home. And I mean large. Three living rooms, three bathrooms, I don't know, seven, eight bedrooms, not including the attic or the basement. And she was such a good-hearted woman, not only to friends and family, but to the community around us. I can't even begin to tell you how many people lived in our home for periods of time just because they had nowhere else to go. I remember people that just got out of prison, living in the back room for a few weeks. A guy that had just gotten out of the hospital and whose jaw was wired shut and ate everything through a blender. He and his girlfriend lived in that same back room for a couple of months. Because this is who my grandmother was. She got up every morning, she made herself breakfast, she made sure I was fed, my brother was fed, got us off to school. We'd come home, she'd already be in the kitchen making dinner. The house was always clean, people were always taken care of. And now I'm looking back on this and I'm realizing how pissed off that makes me. You see, this same woman, when things started going downhill, when her health started to decline, not many of those people were around. All these people that she had helped over the years and no one was there. When she passed away, I was in the Navy. I was living overseas in Japan. And I got that dreaded phone call that she had passed away and it was time for me to come home. And when that happened, I fell apart. No hiding that, I fell apart. I sat outside of my ship at 2 in the morning, crying my eyes out. Went back in. Made arrangements to go home. And when I got back here, again, to this day, it pisses me off. It pisses me off, you see, because I came home thinking I was coming to attend my great-grandmother's funeral. But no, I was coming home to plan her funeral. Everyone that she had ever been there for, all these people, all these friends and family members that she had loved and cared for and cooked for and helped out and watched their children. No one was there. No one stood up to take charge or to help with funeral arrangements or funeral costs. And there I was, what, 21? Maybe 22? And there I was rushing off to the bank to take out a loan to make sure that we could have a proper funeral for this woman. To pay for the cremation. Flowers, food, you name it. There I was at 21 years old, making plans for this beautiful woman. Trying to send her off properly, trying to make sure that she was taken care of the way she took care of me. My apologies, but I am trying my best to not be emotional right now. But in all honesty, I don't think I've really ever taken the time to be pissed off about it until today. Now, in retrospect of all of that, I say this again because right now, I'm tired. Now, please don't take this out of context. I'm not saying that I do everything on my own. I'm not saying I am the sole provider and caregiver for everything and everyone around me. That is not the case. Everything I do with my wife. But sometimes that's not enough. We get up, we go to work, we come home, we do everything that needs to be done, and we barely have a moment to ourselves. Me, I barely have a moment to myself. And it's starting to wear me down. It's wearing me down because I'm looking around at all of the people that I love and care for and do my best to provide for, all the things that I've done for other people, just to bring a smile to their face, just to know that someone is, I'm letting them know that they are appreciated, that they are loved. I'm just that kind of person. I am my great grandmother. I am Odessa Duncan. I will go out of my way to get a birthday card or a gift or to throw a party or make you dinner. I'll watch your kids so you can go out. And it's starting to wear on me a little bit because I'm realizing that for the majority of these people that I love and support and care for, they are not often there for me. And again, I say this concerningly, because that's not what life is about. Life is not about doing things for people just so that they will do things for you. We shouldn't expect people to do things for us. There should be a certain amount of joy and pleasure that we get in just being a good person. But today I'm learning to be selfish. Which is a strange thing. You know, again, I'm not a very religious person, but I am spiritual in a sense. And I've always thought and believed that it is much better to give than to receive. It is much better to provide than take. Selfless is what I've always strived to be. But not today. Today I am learning to be selfish. I am learning to put myself first. Because as I said, you cannot pour from an empty cup. Today I am exhausted. I am tired of watching other people live their best life. Going out, partying, traveling, vacationing, having a blast, making plans to do all kinds of beautiful, amazing things, when I have to literally jump through hoops of fire just to go have dinner with my wife. I am tired of providing other people with a space to enjoy themselves when I am not being provided that same space. I'm tired of going the extra mile. And if you know me, you know, when I go the extra mile, I go the extra mile. I will run up and down and cook and clean and decorate and I will do it all just to see someone else happy because I want them to know how much they are loved. But lately, I feel like I'm coming in last. Like I'm at the bottom of everyone else's list. I'm not angry. I know a lot of what I'm saying may come off that way. If you could see me, I'm talking with my hands. My hands are flaring all over the place as I'm speaking. But I am trying to contain myself because I'm also trying to understand what my place is in this world. Am I meant to just be the provider? Am I meant to be my great-grandmother? Giving and giving and giving until I'm dead, only to realize that no one has been there for me. I say this because I try very hard to be self-sufficient, to not really have to rely on anyone else or ask for too much of other people. Excuse me. And I'm saying this because when it comes down to it, I feel like I really don't ask for much. I ask for a little power nap if I need it. I'll say, hey, this is done, this is done, this is done. I'm gonna go take a quick shower just to get my head together or to get comfortable. I'll say, hey, do you mind if I order food tonight? Because I'm really tired and I just don't feel like cooking. I'll do all kinds of quick and easy, simple solutions just to kind of give myself a break. But in doing this, I'm realizing that in order for me to have a break, I have to do that work too. Does this make sense? In order for me to have a break, I have to make sure that 15 other things are taken care of before I can sit down, before I can rest, before I can gather my thoughts. I have to take care of other people in order to do that. And that's when I realized, in many ways, I'm doing things on my own because no one else is stepping in to take care of me the way that I take care of them. And it's frustrating. Now, without getting too personal, which we all know is pretty much my style to begin with, but without getting too personal, I will say, the other day my wife and I had this little tiff, a little falling out. And in the midst of it, I said, you don't really understand what it is that I'm asking for. I don't mind being the provider. I don't mind getting up in the morning, going to work all day, coming home, having to cook, having to clean, having to make sure everything is taken care of. I don't mind doing laundry. I don't mind it. It's everyday life. I'm an adult. But it would be really nice if just once I could come home and not have to cook. It would be nice to come home to a meal already prepared where I don't have to do anything. And to me, even that is almost asking too much because I even reiterated by saying it doesn't even have to be that big. It would be nice to just come home and have something already pulled out of the freezer for me to cook. Because at least it's one less thing that I have to be responsible for. And then the next day, because she wanted me to understand that she heard me, I came home from work and she was already in the kitchen. She was starting to make dinner. And it was a lovely night. She did a great job. The meal was wonderful. Everyone enjoyed it. The kids did dishes. But then afterwards, I came back to her, and I wasn't trying to beat a dead horse. I wasn't trying to instigate anything, but I said to her, do you understand this now? You had to go grocery shopping without me. You had to come home and prep the food without me. You had to come home and cook without me. All that measuring, all that worry about not messing anything up or not burning anything, making sure that there's enough for everyone in the house. All those little stressors just to make dinner. It seems like a lot, doesn't it? And then I said, now imagine having to do that every day, no matter what. I don't get to be tired. I don't get to not feel well. I don't get to have a headache. I don't get to sit this one out just because I don't feel like doing it today. I can't do those things because I have two adults and four children that need to be fed. And sometimes that sucks. It sucks to be sick, to be exhausted and miserable, but still have to crawl out of bed to make sure that everyone else is cared for, that everyone else is fed. When all that is just on one person's shoulders, it becomes a lot. It really becomes a lot. And it's interesting because I don't think I shared this earlier, but in the last couple of weeks, my house was not fun. My wife and I both got food poisoning, and then I got this weird upper respiratory infection, and then that rolled right into me getting pink eye in not one, but both eyes. But guess who couldn't rest? Guess who couldn't take a break? You see, just when all of that was almost over, when it was almost ending, but I was still tired, still weak, still not feeling well, I got up that morning, I went to work. It was a crazy, crazy day. And then I came home and I was exhausted. I went up to my bedroom, I laid on the bed. Maybe 45 minutes later, I got right back up because I had to come downstairs and make dinner. And I was so pissed off. I was so pissed. Not because I had to make dinner, but because I had to make dinner. I was pissed off, and I, again, maybe oversharing here, but I said to my wife, when you were sick, when you were at your very worst, you literally spent the entire day in bed. I took care of babies, I took care of cooking, I took care of cleaning, I took care of laundry, I did whatever needed to be done, and I let you rest. But when it was me at my worst, I went and worked for 8 hours, and then I came home and took a quick 40-minute power nap, and then I came back downstairs and cooked and cleaned and made sure, yet again, that everyone else was okay. Where's my break? And the more that I thought about that, the more upset I became. Because you see, in the midst of all that, in the midst of food poisoning and this upper respiratory infection and pink eye and all these other things that I had done, not only was I still being me every day, but I was also going above and beyond to take care of other people because in that time period, it was also my wife's birthday. So I went to work. Then I left work early, and then I ran to the grocery store, and I came home, and I cooked, and I decorated, and I laid out this big elaborate thing for her. And then when it was over, we all went skating. And then we all came back to the house and played games, and everyone drank and was happy. And I was floored. I was exhausted. Never in my life have I ever thrown a party and went to bed while people were still in my home because I just couldn't stand up anymore. So a few days later, when I'm sick and I just needed a break, but I still had to go and cook, my brain exploded all over the walls. I want to say furious, but I was so tired, I couldn't even really be angry. All I could say was, when do I get to sit down? When do I get to rest? When do I get to just, to bring it back? Where's my place to be nobody? Just for a few minutes. And in saying this, believe me, I'm leaving out a million things. I didn't talk about the 4 hours it took me to vacuum and shampoo our carpets. I didn't talk about the hour it took me to shampoo and steam clean our sofa. I'm not talking about the 15 loads of laundry. There's this truly, truly extensive long list of details and things that I have to do because otherwise it won't get done. And then I look back at my great-grandmother and I can basically recount what every day of her life must have been like. And I truly wish that I could stand in front of her and apologize not just for myself, but for everyone around her, everyone in her life that took and took and took and never gave it back. And it's unfortunate because, again, I'm saying this because this was my great-grandmother. This is the woman who raised me. And I was young, middle school, high school, young, dumb, stupid, disrespectful. And I never really got to express to her how much I appreciated everything that she did. I'm 40 years old, and even now, I'm not sure I can fully appreciate everything that this woman did. This woman was late 60s, early 70s, and she took in a 5-year-old to care for because no one else in the family could. Everyone else was scattered around the globe or in prison or on drugs or had alcohol issues. No one else could do it. She was the only person that could stand on her own feet in her own home that she owned. Was still working part-time, taking care of me, taking care of other people in the neighborhood. I had an alcoholic uncle who went to work every day, but every Friday spent his paycheck at the bar. Barely ever helped with anything, didn't pay bills, didn't cook, didn't clean. Again, this is probably too much information, but do you know what it's like to be an 11-year-old young black Hispanic male living in a household with an abusive alcoholic uncle who couldn't make it to the bathroom at night, so instead he'd piss in a bucket in the side of his room, and then I had to clean it? I had to pick up 5 gallons of some grown man's piss, walk it to the bathroom, empty it out, wash out the bucket, and then politely put it back? Do you know what it's like to be 12, 13, to get a phone call from the bar around the corner saying, hey, send someone up here to get your uncle because it's time for him to come home and he can barely stand? Do you know what it's like? I really hope that you don't. I truly, truly hope that you have no idea how embarrassing all that is. And I'm saying that from my perspective. But now I'm also old enough to look back at my great-grandmother's perspective, to know the turmoil she must have been going through on a day-to-day basis, to have to take care of her 50-year-old son who couldn't pay bills, who had a beer in his hand every day, all day long, for his entire life, but still have to smile at everyone around you and cook and clean and do laundry, go to work, go grocery shopping, pay the bills. Dear God, I wish I could stand in front of that woman and grovel at her feet, because now I get it. I get what it's like to pour every ounce of yourself into making sure that everyone else is okay, even when you don't feel appreciated. So now that we're on the topic of appreciation and showing appreciation, allow me to share something else with you that I'm still learning how to properly communicate with the people around me. You see, I understand that people all do things differently. We all view things differently. We all show our appreciation differently. We show love differently. I have a friend. He lives 3 minutes away from me. And he's not very talkative. I get text messages from him every day, all day long, but they're not him speaking. It's always memes or videos that he likes and thinks I would like, or things that he thinks I would, laugh at. And that's how he shows love. And I'm learning to appreciate that. And then I have other friends who we chit chat all day long, get into some very strong, deep conversations. And it's making me appreciate those differences in people because I know we all have our own ways of expressing love. But here's the issue that I have been having lately. It's something that I wish more people would take the time to understand. When it comes to showing your appreciation for someone, it's nice to say that, yes, I love you, I appreciate you, I see what you do, and I'm thankful for it. I get that. It's a great gesture. But, and it's a big but, sometimes you have to be able to listen to other people and hear what they are truly asking you for. If you want to show your appreciation by buying me a gift, awesome, that was sweet. But guess what? If you are not giving me what I'm asking for, I am still going to feel unappreciated. I always kind of laugh in my own head because I still think it's hilarious, 30 years later. But I think back to the movie White Man Can't Jump. I think about Rosie Perez and Woody Harrelson. And I think about that scene where she asks him to bring her a glass of water. And he immediately jumps up to go get her water, and then she flips shit. She's pissed off because she's like, No, you don't understand. I'm not asking you for a glass of water. I don't need a glass of water. What I need for you is to bring me water sometimes. And it's strange because, wow. 20, 30 years later, and I get it now. I get exactly what she was trying to communicate. If I tell you that I am hungry, and you think or you act as if you heard me, so you go into the kitchen and then you come back with a soda. You weren't really listening, were you? You didn't hear me say, I'm hungry. All you heard was, I need something. So you went, you got something, and then brought it back to me to show your appreciation, but you didn't actually bring back what I was asking for. So, yes, thank you for the soda, but I'm not thirsty right now. I'm starving. So if I then have to go and get it myself, it's like you never did anything at all. If I tell you that I am in need of space, if I need to take a walk to go catch my breath, to get my head together, and then you say, okay, cool, I understand. And then, as I step out the door, there you are right behind me because you thought it would be nice if we took a walk together. Then again, you heard me, but you weren't listening. And believe me, I could probably make, 50,000 other scenarios of the exact same thing. But what it boils down to is that thing that people do. Where they listen to you talk, but they don't actually hear you. You can tell a person 1,000 times what you need, but sometimes all they hear is what they are willing to provide you with. You can say, I'm hungry. You can say, I'm thirsty. You can say, I need space. You can say, I need to go take a walk. You can say, I need a nap. You can say, I don't feel well, so I don't feel like doing this or that today. You can say all of these things, but more often than not, people are limited in what they hear when you speak to them, they are limited by their own perception of what your needs are. And I'm saying this because I really hope that by the end of this, people learn to actually listen to each other. Don't just sit there in my face and make eye contact and smile and nod your head at everything that I say to prove to me that you're listening. I need you to truly hear me, to interpret what my heart is trying to communicate. When I look at you and say, I need a place to be nobody, I need you to understand what that means. It doesn't mean I want to disappear off the face of the earth. It doesn't mean I want to get a hotel room and sit in there by myself for the next week. I'm not communicating that I literally want to be nobody. I'm trying to tell you that I am tired of having to be something, someone, for everybody else except myself. I mean, this is 2023. You can't watch Instagram or you can't pick up TikTok and not see 5,000 videos about self-love and self-care. So how do you communicate to someone that you are not able to self-care? That you cannot take the time to heal your own wounds, to patch up your own battle scars? How do you communicate to someone that every minute of every day feels like you are dedicating your time and energy and space to other people, and then all you get to do is sleep? How do you communicate to someone that you are truly running on empty? Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, you are just becoming a shell, a beautifully decorated shell that always smiles, that always goes out of their way to make sure that everyone else is taken care of. Again, I look back at my grandmother and I realize all those days where she was probably exhausted. But then she'd come home anyway and she'd make dinner. And now I'm looking back and realizing that on everyone's plate of food, she probably had the least. There she was, caring for us, making sure that we were not just nurtured, but that we were full, that no one went to bed hungry. She always made sure. She always made sure that my uncle, the abusive alcoholic who contributed next to nothing, he always had the big piece of chicken, as we say in the Black community. The man of the house always has the big piece of chicken. The man of the house got fed first, and then everyone else got their food, got their plate. But it was always my great-grandmother, the provider, the true, actual provider, who got her food last and got the least amount of it. The most nurturing person in the room is so often the only person who really needs to be nurtured, but doesn't receive it. I'm thinking of this song right now, another artist that I appreciate, Jidenna. He has this song called Classic Man, and there's a line in it, because he's always dressed to the nines. His hair is always done. He's always wearing suits and beautiful colors and jewelry. He's always very, very well dressed. And they ask him why he does it. And he says, because I don't want my best dressed day to be when I'm in a casket. And emotionally, that's where I am right now. I'm so tired of being selfish, or I'm sorry, of being selfless. I'm so tired of caring for other people that I'm now realizing if I don't take some time to be a little more selfish, to take care of myself, then I am truly going to one day be my great-grandmother. The only time I'm ever going to get to feel appreciated is when I'm dead and gone and people are sitting around telling all the stories about all the great things I did for them. Funerals are nice. They really are. It's the best time for people to come together and share stories about how great someone was, to show their appreciation for all the things that person did in their life. So why is no one there when we're alive? Why is it so difficult for us to acknowledge what people do for us on a day-to-day basis? The littlest things. I don't get it. I don't want my best dressed day to be in a casket. I don't want people to say the best things about me when I am dead and gone and unable to hear it. I don't want to be on my own deathbed looking around at all the people that I did things for and cared for and loved, only to feel empty. We can't do it. You cannot pour from an empty cup. You cannot give your all to everything and everyone around you and not take the time to replenish. And the worst part about that for me right now is that I'm not even sure what replenishing myself looks like. I don't know what it means. Do I need to take myself out to dinner and sit in silence and enjoy a meal? Does that fix it? Do I need to take myself on a date and go to a movie by myself? Does that fix it? Do I need to get up an hour earlier just to have peace and quiet? Do I need to go to bed an hour earlier just so I can feel a little more rested in the morning? I no longer know what self-care looks like for me. And that's a very difficult position to find oneself in. Because I can sit around and I can think of a million things that I could do for other people to make their life better. I can take my dad to the movies, take him to get his hair cut, take him to see old friends, because it makes him happy. I can throw my wife her 90s grunge birthday party and roller skating party, filled with cheese and charcuterie and wine, because it's what she asked for. It's what would make her happy. I can think of a thousand things that I could do for my friends or for my kids, things that would make them smile, bring them some kind of joy. But I'm sitting here and I have no idea what gifts I could give myself. And the second part of that is not only that I don't know what gift to give myself, but I've gotten so used to not getting gifts from other people. I've gotten used to feeding everyone and having nothing on my own plate. I've gotten used to calling people and messaging people and talking to them to make sure that they're okay, just to check in. But not many people are doing that for me. I know what it's like to have someone message me and say, hey, I don't mean to bug you, but I could really use a favor right now. Could you loan me $100? Hey, I have somewhere I need to be and so canceled. Do you think you can watch my kid for a couple hours? I know what that looks like. I know what it's like to be the person that other people will always call and ask for help. But just as badly, I know what it feels like to be the person to ask for help and no one shows up. I'll be honest with you. I think I've sat here for about a half an hour or so doing what I do. Talking, spilling my guts, getting emotional, telling stories, talking about music. But I think I just hit a wall. I don't know if it's emotionally or if this is just a whole big part of being tired. But I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to say because just as much as I am tired of doing, I'm tired of talking. I'm tired of telling people what I need to feel okay and not getting it. Because how many times must you say, I'm hungry before someone realizes you're hungry? How many times can you tell someone, please bring me something to eat? And then you just have to sit there and smile when they bring you a glass of water. How long can we go unfulfilled, unhappy, communicating it to the people around us that we are not happy, that we need more? And we're expected to just sit there and smile when they do nothing. I hate to be a Debbie Downer. I hate to bring it down to this level, but I get it. I get why so many people are depressed. I understand to a degree. I understand why people commit suicide when they have shown people in their life what they needed, when they have tried in their own way to communicate what they're feeling and what they're going through. But when no one hears you, when no one fucking hears you, what choice do you have? I see why people give up. Again, this is just me speaking. I'm not giving up. I'm not that kind of person. But I am tired. I am very, very tired. But I'm doing my best to communicate that, not just to you listeners, not just to my friends, not just to my family or my coworkers. I'm doing my best to communicate it out loud so that I can hear myself speak. I'm looking at all these notes that I've scribbled down for today's podcast and I'm rereading it as if someone else has written it to me. So that I can understand what I need. Because if I don't understand what I need, how can I truly even ask anyone else to help me with it? So for today, this is my wall. This is where I'm going to stop. Because I don't even know what else to say. So until next time, this is Isaac. This is Last Man Standing. This is your friendly neighborhood podcast where no matter what, we keep trying to understand what it means to be a good man in today's world, even when the world is not so good to us. Good night.